let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos have done it again with their fast-paced mystery thriller, historical fiction, The Only Truth That Matters. It's May 1944, and citizens are anxiously awaiting the Allied invasion of Europe while a gang war is brewing in the streets of Los Angeles. Cliff Toms, an attorney forced from the DA's office, now in private practice, and Lou Gomez, a homicide detective dogged by his checkered past, encounter gangsters fighting for control of the black market. The staff and patrons of illegal casinos, and a movie studio fixer who will go to any lengths to make problems disappear. The story provides a window on the wartime home front and the realities of the air war in the deadly skies over Germany, as we follow the traits of Cliff's client Zoe and her family, while their husband and older son are employed by mobsters and her younger son serves as a bombardier overseas. Zoe, business consultant and psychic, assists Lou and Cliff in their search for a pair of killers. Like in the preceding novel, the truth won't help them now. Cliff and Lou struggle to sort through the lies and betrayals and mete out some rough justice. Joan holds a Master's of Arts in Spanish and a PhD in Education from Claremont University, worked in public education for more than 40 years. She retired in 2003. Until recently, she and her husband lived off the grid on 20 acres of forested land in the Sierras, where they cultivated giant sequoias. Stephen Kobos earned a Bachelor of Arts in Social Sciences and Religious Studies from UC Santa Barbara, a Juris Doctor degree from the University of Laverne, recently retired, practiced law for 12 years, followed by a 21-year career teaching classes for adults. Stephen and his wife, two adult sons, live in Southern California. And Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos, authors of The Only Truth That Matters, back with us on This Week in America. Stephen and Joan, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
So much to talk about. You've done it again, as I said, with this exciting book. I need to do some background there because you've got some really interesting characters and they evolve during the course of the story that you're telling. We had a chance to talk about the preceding novel, The Truth Won't Help Them Now. How is this book related to the earlier book? Sort of catch us up on how this is related.
The book in some ways is like a family history. So the first book started off in 1939, and it has Zoe Woolfolk and her sons. One of the sons is my mother's father. So we're following the family along, but then we set it in a historical context and wrap a murder mystery around it.
And I might add that when we're talking to Stephen and Joan, this is a mother-son writing combination, which really makes it interesting. And we'll talk about the concept of working together and if mom is right when there's some disagreement where the storyline is going to go. We'll unfold all of that on the program today. Joan, are these two the beginning of a series? Because as you read the comments, everybody's like, wow, you've got to keep up with these characters. Beginning of something special, a series?
Well, yes, and we think that we're going to write the next book, and instead of being, the first one was 1939, and then 1944, the next one will be probably 1958, we're not sure if it'll be 56 or 58, and we're gathering information now, because, you know, you just can't sit down and write what happened then. It has to be very statistically and historically accurate. We even have maps of Southern California in those days because there were no freeways in Los Angeles, yes, for example. So we try to drive the way we're driving so that if a person knew the area, they'd know exactly where they were.
You know, that's what's so fascinating about what you do is the research that goes into that. Stephen, there's a lot of time spent doing research, and we're seeing different eras. You mentioned the next one will be set some years in the future. In those specific years, the characters are aging. How do you address that? Because you need to make these realistic. This is what Cliff and Lou will look like and how they'll think 5-6 years from now.
Right. One of the things I brought out in the second book was how Lou has aged how he's feeling older and has this work to stay in shape, and how he has more fear in the book because he knows he's vulnerable. For Cliff, I don't know that Cliff is also aware of his mortality too. But so that's, and I think probably by the next book we'll have Lou retired.
And we think that Cliff is going to also be put in a hospital or something.
Oh, that's later.
Oh, later. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. We're going to put him in a hospital.
Spoiler alert there. We just find out what will happen on down the line. You're trying to keep track of all of these characters. In fact, how do you do that? Do you have like a big board there where you've got all of this information? Because you really, it's like these people exist and you're keeping track of them and where their future is going to take them. How do you keep track of all of this with the characters?
Well, part of it is because the main family characters are real. And so we just keep track. Well, we know in 1958, 59, Zoe was doing this and knew these people. Cliff will probably rejoin the L.A. DA's office, because in the 50s, he actually was in the DA's office. So we kind of keep track of what's going on. Bobby Lee was in the Air Force.
He really was shot down over Germany. There were only three. He was shot down in Magdeburg over Germany when they were trying to blow up the fake.
Synthetic.
Synthetic.
Yes.
The oil. And in his plane, only three people survived, and we know that for a fact. And we have another member of our family who writes books. His name is Nicholas Veronico, and he writes books about airplanes. And so we called him up and we said, how did this happen? And so he told us, and then I put it down and then he fixed it.
Interesting.
We tag team with Nick because we drew a lot on his actual work. He wrote an article on this, the shoot down, but there was a book there was a major raid, and the book talked about the major raid, and my great uncle's plane was part of that major raid. And then Nick wrote an article that discussed the shoot down, and then borrowed from him.
Well, it's in the family, so you can do that. That's not bad. Now, the book we're talking about is The Only Truth That Matters by Joan W. Hunter and Stephen Kobos. And if you're Googling that, Stephen is with a V, and then Kobos, C-O-B-O-S. Book at Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website. You can link on directly, get all of the information. I talked about mother-son writing combination. Talk about the writing process. How do the two of you, you're together now, but not always, how do you collaborate and know how you're going to move the story forward and who's going to work on what part of the storyline?
We've discovered that there's two kinds of authors, the architect who plans things out and the gardener who lets things grow. We're gardeners.
We're gardeners, right.
We had a general plan about, okay, this time we're going to have a gang war. Part of what we do is, because my great-grandfather and grandfather were employed by mobsters, we're kind of tied to mobsters that way. So then we decided to have a gang war, and as like the main storyline. So we got together, we decided on the main storyline, but who we call Granny. Granny had already written pieces back years ago, and so then we incorporate some of those older pieces into the story.
I've mostly been writing all of my life, but when I was a school teacher, I would write little stories for the kids to use the correct vocabulary and so forth. And so I have hundreds of stories that I've written many years ago. And so when I started writing about my father was a croupier on the gambling shipwrecks. And then after he was there, well, we knew all these people, I mean. Clarence, Zoe's husband, was the,
accountant.
He was the accountant for Bugsy Siegel on the gambling ship wrecks. And so we have nodding acquaintance with all these people. Although we never saw they never saw me personally. I was just a kid. But I have written stories about what had happened. And so I'll write this. I wrote one piece, and I wrote it in the first person. I handed it to Steve, and he said, oh, this is great, but I'm going to rewrite it in the third person. So so it all fits together.
And so because when she wrote that particular piece the first time, it wasn't with a book in mind, so we added more. We put it into the context of the book, but the story itself was true, and we threw in some fictional elements to make it dovetail into the book.
Yeah. And another thing, Stephen does all the fight scenes. You know, I couldn't do a fight scene. He has a friend who teaches him what to do so that he doesn't get killed in any of the fight scenes. And his friend says, no, you have to put your arm this way. No, you have to put your foot that way. And all kinds of things. Because then it's true. We know what's happening.
You know, and that's why the books, the first book we talked about, The Truth Won't Help Them Now, and the new book, The Only Truth That Matters, why it's receiving such rave reviews and people really love it is that realism, that element that, okay, this sounds realistic to me, and it is realistic because you do such extensive research. And talk about the characters, too. I'm fascinated by this. So all of the main characters in the book are really based on people that you're familiar with, right?
Lou is mainly an invention, although I was passingly familiar with the L.A. detective who has Lou's physical characteristics and a little bit of his background, but they're separate individuals, of course. But Lou is not. So Lou is mainly an invention.
Kuko.
Yeah, Kuko was... basically based on a martial arts, Filipino martial arts instructor I had. So I mean, we draw from real life, but you know the characters in the book have to serve a particular purpose. So they serve their purpose, and their personalities are designed so that they can fulfill their functions.
I love that. There's so many moving parts here, and you have them all, and you piece them together so nicely. The narrative is excellent during the program. It keeps escalating as the story goes on. Joan Hunter, Stephen Kobos, the co-authors of The Only Truth That Matters. This is their new book. And I called it historical fiction, and it really is. It's historical because it is based on what actually was happening in Los Angeles, in the world, during that particular moment in time. And Joan, in the book, there's a Joni. Is this you? Is this somebody based on you?
I have a sister, Caroline, Joni and Caroline. We were always called Joni and Caroline, even though I'm 3 years older than her, than she is. I'm real short. I'm not even 5 foot now. And so when we were little, we looked like twins. They thought we were twins because Caroline's regular size and I'm real short. And so, many times when I'm writing this stuff, I write it as the twins. But yeah, Joni is me.
The book is such a fascinating read, and a lot of different elements in that. The book's available at Amazon, The Only Truth That Matters. The video of this interview, by the way, we're talking to them via Skype from California, will be up on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. If you go to thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on to videos and watch this. Watch the other interview we did a couple of years ago. The first book, The Truth Won't Help Them Now. Stephen, what's interesting is there are a number of elements to this. Talk about that. This is part thriller, part mystery, love stories. You've got supernatural. You've really woven a lot into this, which really makes it a treat for the reader to be able to read the story and enjoy it. Talk about blending all of those elements.
Partly it's because we try to stay with what's real. I mean, there's the fictional elements, which are the like the gang war we made up, but the setting of Los Angeles during rationings and people with the black market and the mobsters trying to control the black market, all of that's real. The stories about trying to deal with the rationing, all of the Bobby Lee story is true to life. So there is a lot going through the series is family history, and so that gives us a timeline that's realistic. And then when we research it, no one wants to read about our family, just by itself. But the murder mystery part is laid on top of that. But it's not exactly genre. It's not just limited by that genre.
Right.
But it's also not just a family autobiography. Part of that is just the fullness of life. And when you focus on the fullness of life, try to bring in all of those elements that exist, it becomes more realistic and less genre bound.
And another thing is when we were writing about what we know and what we research, when we were finished and we saw what we had, we realized that there are certain things that were really important in life, and that was like the marriages of Zoe and Clarence, and the marriages of Bobby and Margie, and the marriages of, who else?
Cliff and Lucille.
Yeah, those were all real people, and they had real real feelings. When Bobby Lee dies, it's you can just feel Margie crying inside of her.
You know, what's so amazing in doing this is your family is sort of like was a novel waiting to be written, wasn't it? I mean, you don't have to develop these characters. You just sort of capture who they are. You've got a little bit of everything represented in the family background.
Well, my grandmother was a psychic. At one time, she was kind of famous as a psychic.
Astrologer.
She was an astrologer, but she she told everybody that she was a consultant, and so that she could, but it used to be against the law to give advice, you know, if you were a psychic. So my grandmother had a lawyer, Cliff, and he set up a church for her. I mean, this is true. You can't make this up.
No, you can't.
She was the
high priestess
of the Church of Psychic Light. And so she didn't give advice. It came to her, even though she was reading the tarot cards.
Yes.
And setting up an astrological chart. We have a thing about that. But we didn't put it in this book. We wrote another one. And in that, Zoe tells these guys, you ought to buy, you know, in 1940, you ought to go and buy
land
in the valleys. And these two look at each other and they say, that lady is so crazy. No one's going to buy land in the San Fernando Valley. She must be nuts. If you could have You know, this is when, before they had, radios. No, not radios. Yes.
Televisions are right. So that so sometimes we write more than gets in the book. That we couldn't fit that in gracefully, so that got left out.
Well, there's a file card you put away. I bet your family reunions 15, 20 years ago were a riot. I bet that was fun to get everybody together. I bet they lasted for days and everybody wanted to go. I mean, what a colorful group. And a couple minutes left, but what's interesting is you've got all these different elements, and what you're doing is not a documentary. This is like a real story. Talk about taking all those elements and putting suspense and a thriller portion in that, because you've got these tied together in some really great stories. Talk about developing the stories with these people, although it sounds like these people probably lived all of these stories.
the mafia stories, for example, when we have Lou trying to investigate, and he goes from illegal casino to illegal casino. Those places were where my grandfather actually worked. And so Granny was saying, "Oh yeah, there was one place in the basement of the Kress department store," and I'm like, "So I'm saying Kress." So I had to research that.
Yes,
we found various Kress stores. And then there was so when he's going through, when Lou is going through the places, we're using real places. The Italian restaurant is based on, I think it's Joe's.
It was downtown LA.
Little Joe's or something?
Little Joe's, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so I talked to my dad about, well, have you ever been there? And he's, oh yeah. And he would tell me what it was like on the inside. So we did that. The Kress, you described the Kress to me. There was a warehouse, a furniture warehouse. So all of those various in places investigation were actual real places.
Is this the one where I had them in the laundry? Did we put the laundry in this?
No.
Oh.
Next book then, I guess.
Here's the next one. Okay. Boy, I can't wait for the next one. There's so many great stories that aren't in these two books that should be in the next one. How are you coming with the third book? Is that getting close?
No, we just barely started. Just barely. We're having a little bit of trouble researching it. What I wanted to make the focus is not something that shows up in the history books very well. So it's been tough sledding. We haven't gotten very far, and so it's a little disappointing that way.
Well, wish you the best on that, and you've entertained people with the two books that are out there. The first one, which we talked about, The Truth Won't Help Them Now, and the new one, the fast-paced mystery thriller, historical fiction. It's got everything in the book, The Only Truth That Matters. Joan W. Hunter and Stephen Kobos, the authors, back with us on the program. It's always a treat to have you folks on to get the background, the stories that you're working on. And this has to make you feel so much closer to your family, doesn't it? I mean, you actually, these are just not names that come up from time to time in the family. It sounds like you actually know who these people really are.
Well, that way we can keep them straight. And we had one of our characters commit suicide in the bathtub, and she slits her wrist. But we actually knew somebody who did that, and so it was, I shouldn't say easy, it was true to life. If somebody yes. reads that, they know that somebody was watching them do that, and that it really happened, because it did really happen.
I was going to say, as you were reading this and thinking, boy, this sounds like real life. It is based on real life. It is just such a job well done. The Only Truth That Matters. Joan, Stephen, thank you so much for being back with us on the program. As you progress on book three, let us know and we'll chat again. Thank you for spending some time with us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
It is always a pleasure.
Our books.
Always a pleasure. Joan Hunter, Stephen Kobos. The book is The Only Truth That Matters. You'll find it at Amazon, usual places. You can link on, get all the information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.